Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, April 5th, 2014. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Studio 7 is going out to you on the 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. On the internet, you can find us at www.voazimbabwe.com. Here are our top stories this evening. Suspended Deputy Treasurer General of the Movement for Democratic Change Formation of Moken Tsvangirai says the MDC leader and President Robert Mugabe of ZANU-PF are dictators not fit to lead their parties.
They all have got this strong man mentality. They all are not listening to advice. They are all not looking to building a Zimbabwe that can be lived by all. And that is really where the essence is.
Informal traders say they are still being harassed by the police in urban areas.
We are having a big problem from the municipal police and the police concerning unlicensed vendors. But the people who are trading illegally are doing this because they have no opportunity.
And the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights say some hospitals are detaining patients who fail to settle bills. Suspended Deputy Treasury General of the Movement for Democratic Change Formation of Moken Tsvangirai says the MDC leader and President Robert Mugabe of ZANU-PF are dictators not fit to lead their parties. Elton Mangoma, who was recently suspended by the MDC for urging Tsvangirai to step down after failing a couple of times to dislodge President Mugabe from power, says the two are dictators. He tells Studio 7 in an exclusive interview that Tsvangirai and Mr. Mugabe never listen to anyone and not build a democratic Zimbabwe.
We need somebody who wants to build the nation of Zimbabwe so that we can begin to take away the problems that we are having because many of our problems can be resolved simply by working together as a nation for a common purpose. So you need a leader who has got a vision to build this country up, a vision where you are looking at nation building, not simply a person who is prepared to be be a president, but to say, why do you want to become a president? Our country is too polarized at this stage. So you need somebody who will be able to cross and or provide a bridge for that, to make sure that certainly people on either side begin to feel that they can work together for the better of this country.
And many people are saying Mr. Mangoma is one person who is very courageous because at the end of the day, he can ruffle anyone's feathers. If you get to make a comparative analysis, compare President Robert Mugabe and President Tsvangirai of the MDC, who do you think is better between the two?
None of them. They all have got this strong man mentality. They all are not listening to advice. They are all not looking to building a Zimbabwe can be lived by all, and that is really where the essence is. If you are a leader, you must be prepared to be led by someone else, and you have got to show that tolerance, because many people must be allowed to contribute and not simply say, if you don't support me, then whatever you contribute is not necessary. So I think those are some of the major failings, and that the two leaders, they failed to provide a vision and a pathway that can bring the polarization of the country down, where people could work together.
That was Elton Mangoma, Deputy Treasurer of the MDC led by Moken Tsvangirai, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Reacting to Mangoma's remarks, MDCT spokesman Dakas Monzora says Tsvangirai is fit to lead his party and Zimbabwe.
This is a comment by someone who has been suspended in the party and who is going to appear before a disciplinary committee and who has a very, very bad case against him. The Zimbabweans know that President Tsvangirai has done everything in his power to make sure that the people of Zimbabwe live better lives. President Tsvangirai got into the inclusive government for three things: firstly to fix the economy of Zimbabwe and bring basic commodities to the shelves. People of Zimbabwe saw an improved economy when President Tsvangirai was prime minister. Also, he went in to make sure that we have a new constitution. We had a new constitution. And he also went in to make sure that the level of violence were reduced. That was done. So President Tsvangirai is a success. He was a success while in the ZCTU. He was a success while he was heading the regional trade union body, the Southern African Trade Union Congress. So he is a man with a solid background. He has never sold out anyone. He is committed to the cause. I'm personally proud of being a follower of President Tsvangirai. The fact that somebody has been brought before disciplinary proceedings does not mean that those who are bringing him are dictators. Certainly not.
That was MTCT spokesman Douglas Manzola speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. We're unable to get a comment from ZANU-PF spokesman Lukare Kumbo as his mobile phone was not being answered. For more details on this issue, visit us on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can also send us messages on WhatsApp. Our number is 1-202-465-0318. Informal traders say they are still being harassed by the police in urban areas where thousands of people are making a living through selling various goods. Informal Traders Association President Mike Manning tells Studio 7 the situation is chaotic in some cities like Bulawayo and Harare, where they lose goods worth millions of dollars to municipal police. Manning speaks to Studio 7's Chris Gande about challenges being faced by informal traders.
The situation right now is critical. Companies now are closed in Bulawayo, and it's caused a big influx of unemployed people who are sent to the informal sector, and we expect even more to come on board because of this.
What problems do you face, especially from the municipal police or the police themselves?
We are having a big problem from the municipal police and the police concerning unlicensed vendors. But the people who are trading illegally, so said by the local authorities or the police, are doing this because they have no alternative.
That was Mike Manning, president of the Zimbabwe Informal Traders Association, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights says some hospitals are detaining patients who fail to settle bills. Spokesman Kumirai Mafunda tells Studio 7 they are being told by many patients while on an outreach program that the hospitals are demanding cash before they are discharged.
During our outreach program, we are conducting what we are calling mobile legal clinics, where we aim to assist Zimbabweans to secure free legal advice. We do consultations, we engage communities. We are trying to reach out to the marginalized communities, people who are just dumped out there. That's why you are finding us being in Mashonaland West Province, up there in Kariba.
We also understand that some residents are complaining that they are being detained in hospitals. What's happening?
Yes, these are some of the issues that are emerging. The detention of mothers at hospitals in clinics there in Kariba, whereby the people are saying that they are being detained for failing to settle medical bills after giving birth. And this is one issue which is of great concern to the people in Kariba. They also told us that the authorities at some clinics and hospitals are even forcing them to do some menial jobs like laundry at these medical centers for them to be released. So the hospitals are breaching or violating their rights by detaining them. The Constitution of Zimbabwe doesn't empower these hospital authorities to detain people.
That was Kumirai Mafunda of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking with Studio 7 from Kariba.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
And now we turn to reporter Tatenda Kumbo for an update on what is trending in the social media sphere.
A Chinese actor's apology to his actress wife following rumors of his infidelity has set a record for comments and retweets on China's version of Twitter. According to the Associated Press, the scandal surrounding film and TV star Wang Zhang has resonated among Chinese partly because of his image as a sensitive and happily married family man. Wang Zhang posted a statement that his wife, quote, Ma Yali, and children could have had a warm and nice life, but everything was destroyed by me. By Wednesday, his post had been forwarded more than 1.2 million times and received nearly 1.9 million comments. South African athlete Oscar Pistorius sobbed, threw up, and buried his face in his hands in court when he faced prosecutors on charges of allegedly killing his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, at his home. He claims that he shot Reva after suspecting that she was an intruder. On Monday, Pistorius, who is the world's most famous Paralympic athlete, is expected to take the stand to defend himself. Pilots searching for the Malaysia Flight 370 with 239 people aboard, which went missing a month ago, say so far satellite calculations have only directed them to oceanic garbage dump. Not a single piece of wreckage from the lost plane has been found. Researchers in California's Central Valley are trying to find assortments of bee-friendly plants that local farmers and ranchers can easily grow. Since 2006, the commercial beekeepers who raise honeybees and transport them across the country to pollinate crops have reported losing a third of their colonies each year on average. Native species of bees, too, have been in the decline. That has taken a toll on crops that rely on bees for pollination. Nepali Prime Minister Sushil Koirala has declared possessions of his website that include three mobile phones, one of which is an iPhone and another doesn't actually work. He may be the world's poorest leader. The other contender is Uruguay President Jose Mujica, whose only possession is a 20-year-old Volkswagen Beetle worth $1,900. And Queen Elizabeth II, bearing a basket of honey, whiskey, and other goodies from the royal estates, has paid a visit to Pope Francis at the Vatican. The pontiff returned the courtesy with a gift for Prince George, Elizabeth's great-grandson. The Argentine-born Pope presented the Queen with a stone orb topped with a sharp cross, saying it's for El Nito, a term of endearment for little child.
Thanks very much, Tatenda Kumbo. Now we cross over to the Women's Desk with Marvelous Mhlanganya Wuye. Over to you, Marvelous.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. The Women's Forum is hosted by Marvelous Mhlanganya Wuye in Washington. We are lucky to have with us today the media manager of Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, SAFAIDS, Tariro Makanga, who will be looking at some of the programs that they are doing to educate women and young girls on the issues of HIV and AIDS. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Tariro Makanga. What is the mandate of SAFAIDS, especially when it comes to issues affecting women and HIV and AIDS?
Thank you very much. SAFAIDS is a regional organization. We are actually based in Harare in Zimbabwe. When we're looking at women living with HIV or women affected with HIV, SAFAIDS is playing a critical role working with women. We're looking at women who are living with HIV, who are undergoing PMTCT initiatives in the country.
What about the issue of mother-to-child transmission of HIV? What programs do you have in place?
We work with those women through giving them information, mainly where we are really providing that information where a mother needs to know that having an HIV positive status is not the end of the world. A woman who is living with HIV, who is on treatment, what they need to do is the moment that they discover that they are positive, they are pregnant, the next step is to go to a health service provider. When they go there, they actually put on a program where they are given prophylaxis to ensure that they can carry their pregnancy full term, to also ensure that during delivery, the child is actually protected. On the day of delivery, the child is also given prophylaxis. And in this day and age, no woman should deliver a child who's HIV positive. So for us as an organization, we are running initiatives where we are providing women with all this information.
What about the issue of stigma?
We are really trying to work with the woman for them to have an understanding in terms of when you are faced with that dilemma, when you are faced with the stigmatization that women often face in the communities, when you are even faced with the challenge of how to disclose to your in-laws, how to disclose to your family, how do you go about that whole process? So as an organization, we bring women together. We share with them all that information. We share with them even HIV prevention methods that are there. We know almost every country in Southern Africa at the moment, Zimbabwe being one of them as well, is rolling out male circumcision. And for us, we are saying male circumcision, as much as that procedure is performed on a man, a woman has a role to play on that procedure as well. We are encouraging women to have an understanding in terms of if their husband is circumcised, how does it benefit a woman?
What other programs are you doing in conjunction with other organizations in the country to help fight HIV and AIDS?
We have a partnership program that we are working with the Ministry of Health. We are working with Elizabeth Glaser Pediatric AIDS Foundation. We're working with OFID, where we are going into the communities, right into the rural communities. We're bringing the women together in those communities, talking about PMTCT issues, and then we discuss those issues. And then we work with the leadership within those communities, hosting community dialogue. So if you go into an area, you have the headman now, inviting the men also to those discussions. So we then bring together men and women, we bring traditional leaders, we bring even church leaders together to really discuss these issues. And then eventually what we are seeing now is to then to get to a situation where we are telling the men that a woman doesn't have to go for PMTCT services, to go for antenatal care on their own. A man has a role to play. We're also talking about the role the men play during pregnancy. We're talking about prevention. How do they prevent themselves from reinfecting the woman? We're talking about condom use within a marriage, particularly when we're looking at a woman being pregnant, be she is positive or she's negative. Prevention, particularly condom use during that period, we are emphasizing it. So we have found that bringing the men to that platform will enable now the men to uptake those services now, because they've got that clear understanding. And opening those discussions also removes a lot of challenges that women were mainly facing, because when they go for antenatal visits, it's the woman who first gets to know about the HIV status. And eventually, women were facing a challenge of going home and telling the husband. A lot of women have faced gender-based violence. Some women have been even chased away from home. Some have even been divorced, because you are then, the husband would then say, okay, you are the first one to know about your HIV status. You who has brought this to the house. So with these initiatives, we're actually seeing men going with their wives for antenatal visits, undergoing voluntary counseling and testing together. And as a result, they take whatever result that they get as a family. The family talks about, we are expecting and not this woman is expecting.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Tariro Makanga, the media manager for the Southern Africa HIV and AIDS Information Dissemination Service, SAFAIDS.
Thank you so much, Mahla.
The Women's Forum was hosted by Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye in Washington.
And finally, in sports news, the Premier Soccer League soccer season kicked off today. Visit our Facebook page for more details. In league matches tomorrow, Wange clash with Buffaloes at the Colliery, while Hauman will lock horns with Dynamos, Shabani Mine vs Triangle, Chirezi vs FC Platinum, and Caps United clash with ZPC Kariba. Meanwhile, the Blair City Council is set to fully bankroll a Division 2 league side as the local authority sets its eyes on the Premier Soccer League. And today we have the music of Olive Tukutsi, dedicated to Tinashe Tlongwane. If you wish to make your own selection, visit us on Facebook. We are also on Twitter and WhatsApp. Our WhatsApp number is 1-202-465-0318. That's our program this evening. This is Gibbs Dube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening.